Thinking of that, we have some people back after ailing. Are there, there any significant news on those who are ailing or not here with us? Joyce, how's your sister?
She's doing better. She had some surgery, but she's doing better.
Paul's sick this morning. Yeah, okay. So let's keep in mind those who are hurting and those with us. We're going to be getting going this morning in chapter 20 in a little bit. But we're going to spend a good amount of time in the first six verses here along with associated scriptures. And the way it goes and the way we're looking at it, I gave it the title, if it's Tuesday, it must be Troas. Paul's doing a lot of movement. And I don't know what BJ's little thing here is. I don't know what he has for chapter 20. That didn't get forwarded to me. But if I had to do 20, I'm one for mnemonic devices, memory aids, that sort of thing. Like in math, to get the order of operations correctly, there was something called PEMDAS. If anyone remembers, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally refrain. It's been used to know what order to do your math in. Well, I would call this this chapter 20, although we're only really going to get to the M. I would call this chapter 20 meat. Because we're going to be one of the exciting events in an early chapter is the Paul preaching till midnight and the young man falling out of the window, which we'll get to. And then the rest of the chapter is elders' advice to follow. So just a few things there. That's what I would call it. We're not going to get to the eat part of it. We're just going to be getting to the M really today, this morning. And we're going to start off just with a little bit of fun. Anyone recognize that character? Waldo, because you know what? The famous, because we're gonna have a little bit of Where's Waldo fun this morning. And I picked an easy one so you all could find them. Somehow I can picture Bruce being this person. If it was black and red stripe, then it'd be perfect, right, Bruce? Black and orange, yeah. Black and orange. Black and orange. So get the right stripes. Where's Waldo? So what is the idea of Where's Waldo? So we're going to be taking a look at tracing the movements of Paul. We're going to see is sometimes like trying to find Waldo in one of these pictures. Well, what does that mean? What do you have to go through? And this is an easy one, but what do you have to go through to find Waldo and some of those others? Careful and deliberate, I'm hearing the word. Searching, right? You have to look all over, right, to find where he's at. And we're going to be doing some of that this morning with Paul, that careful searching is required. And so that's what we need to work on this morning. We're going to do some careful searching and... If I could get a volunteer to read, we're just going to go chapter 20, read the first six verses. Hold on a second, I almost forgot. Being a teacher and finding where is Paul, let's first have a quick quiz. Oh, yeah, pop quiz. We're going to see who gets the most answers here. So either mentally or on a piece of scratch paper, write down, see if you can answer these questions. We're going to go back to Paul's first beginning somewhere early before his journeys. Yeah, but you might not have time to search the book. I never mind giving open note, open book quizzes too much because if it's not already up here, they generally don't have time to search and put the answer down. So let's see how well you can do. Paul's journeys, where is he, when? This is said. Well, just get an answer in your head, and then I'll call on somebody here in a second. You can signal me if you think you know. You might be going, man, well, Paul got beat up in quite a few places, but... Anyone have an idea? What do you think, Brian?
Derby and Lystra.
Well, pick a one.
Going from one city to the
other. No hedging your bets. Okay, if you're not sure, this is found in Acts 14:19. So what city was he dragged out of?
First aid at Lystra, I'm not sure about
it. So yes, it was Lystra. Lystra on the first journey. We need a category like this on Jeopardy. I always laugh when they have Bible-based categories on Jeopardy. They're always so easy. They make the ask the easy stuff. All right. There's question number one. We'll see who's going to get an A in this, getting a proficient score of 80% or better. How about this one? I didn't have the Jeopardy music able to plug in here. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. Any ideas? Don't want to take too long on these, but it says they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done. I'm sorry, Clinton?
When they come back from the missionary journey.
Okay, what city? Where were they? Jerusalem. Acts 15:12. They were in Jerusalem after the end of the first missionary journey. Okay. We got a couple people getting them right. We got six of these, so number three. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there.
Come over and help.
So where was he?
He's on the coast. I can't remember the name of the city.
Anne says Troas, chapter 16, verse 9, and it was Troas on the second journey. I don't know if it was Tuesday or not, but that's from one of those old movies. If it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium or something like that, an old movie. All right. See how you people are doing. Three more. I don't know if anyone's noticed a pattern to where I'm picking my scriptures from. His spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. Oh! Athens, Acts 17:16, city of Athens. This would be a lot easier if Paul had a smartphone and a GPS tracking system. Think of the letters he would have written with modern technology. All right, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word. Bruce thinks Ephesus. What do you think, Wayne? Anyone? This is Bruce Wright. It's from chapter 18, verse 5. Corinth. On the second journey. Last one. Reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. Now, Bruce, what was your last answer?
I think beginning is Ephesus.
Ephesus. Acts 19:9. And city of Ephesus on the third journey. Because it was there at the end of 18 that they came back to Antioch and then set off again on their third journey. All right. So a little bit of where Paul's been. Of course, he is in many other places in those chapters. I didn't want to make the quiz too long. Okay. But it's sort of interesting to not only know what each chapter was, but what did Paul do in each city? Right, to make sort of keep in mind where was he when certain things happened and that sort of thing. Okay, so let's move on. Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Can I get a volunteer? So we've done a quick update. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Go ahead, Brian.
1 through 6?
1 through 6.
Okay, Acts chapter 20. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to them. He embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. And he stayed 3 months, and when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. Now these men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days.
Again, the scriptures penchant for understatements. There we have 6 verses of some goings on of people going different places, and yet there's a lot more going on in there than what Luke gives. The phrase departed from Macedonia, the very first verse, he said they were all departed from Macedonia. Well, what happened there? Where did he go? What happened? And of course, Acts, we don't have that information. So we have to go other places in the scriptures to do this. So let's first ask the question, what letter had Paul wrote while in Ephesus? At that point, he was in Ephesus, right, during that time. We just had the whole uproar with the city, and he was there for how long? A number of years, right? And he, while there, he wrote a letter to one of the other churches. No, he was in Ephesus. 1 Corinthians. And so we're following his plan, because as he leaves here, we're actually going to see Paul is following his plan. We're going to be reading a number of the pieces from the letters to the Corinthians. As what we're going to get is we're going to see Paul's itinerary, where in the world is Paul, from clues in his letters. That's not recorded for us in Acts. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8 and 9. Get someone to read that for me, 16, 8, and 9. And so what is it? We see that Paul is beginning to, he had written to Corinth. This is just showing that this is the letter that he had written, the letter to Corinth. He puts at the end of the letter to the Corinthians that I'm here in Ephesus, and there's a wide door of opportunity, so I'm staying here right now. But I'm going to be coming. So he's following his plan. He stayed in Ephesus for some time until Pentecost. And then he was going to be leaving. We're going to see that he stops in Troas. It's not mentioned in Acts. It just says what? He departed for Macedonia. Not only is Troas, and I try to include, if it's hard to see up here, a little mini map of sort of where we're saying. So he was in Ephesus, and he comes up to Troas. We're going to see, is it likely he maybe went through and encouraged the church in Smyrna and Pergamum as he went? Very, very likely. Or perhaps any of these others, because we don't have the, even the letters don't tell us the details. We don't know if he went through there or if he came over to the coast and stopped in Mylene and asked, you know, we don't know what route he took. But we're going to see from 2 Corinthians, boy, did I forget to put the chapter on there? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, sorry, this is supposed to be chapter 2. Verses 12 and 13. When I came, so he's writing the second letter to the Corinthians. We'll see when, we'll sort of get an idea when that happens here in a little bit. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though the door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took my leave of them and went on to Macedonia. Now, I think going into too much, that is a reference of where he stopped. This is what happened. He came to Troas. So who did he send with the letter to Corinth with, the first one? Who took the letter to Corinth? Who did it say here? Titus. He sent Titus on ahead with the letter. And so he's leaving, he leaves Ephesus. He had sent Titus on ahead to Corinth with the letter. And we're going to see some other things what Titus was doing on this trip that Titus was supposed to do a little bit later. But he sends Titus on ahead, and Paul starts heading, and he gets to Troas, and he's preaching the gospel. What does it say? What did it say? He preached the, is this the first time? 2 Corinthians there? Chapter 2? I came to go to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, if he had preached it before in Troas, would you think he would mention it now? Because he's been through Troas before. He's taken ship from Troas before. Some scholars say this is the first time he actually preached in Troas. Whether preaching the gospel means starting the church there for the first time, or whether it means encouraging the brethren, that's up to debate. But it could be that this is the first time that the first preaching of the gospel in the city. Because it's not mentioned in the other parts, although we can't be sure. But why didn't he stay? He wanted to stay. 2 Corinthians 2 says there is a door of opportunity in Troas. Again, like he had in Ephesus.
But it sounded like he wanted to hook up with Titus.
Yeah, he was worried about Titus. So evidently, he went to Troas. Titus was supposed to go over to Corinth, drop off the letter, do the other things he's supposed to, and meet Paul back in Troas. But Titus isn't there. And it just shows, sometimes I've heard other people say, Paul was just this driven, didn't care about anything else but, you know, but the word, and that's it. No, Paul was concerned for his brothers. Brothers in Christ. He worried about them. And so in 2 Corinthians there, he says, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. He came to Troas expecting Titus to be there. He wasn't there. How many of us have either come home expecting a child to be there or someone else, or you've gone somewhere expecting to meet someone and they're not there, and then what do you think?
Start getting the worst.
You start thinking the worst. Okay. At one time when Lizzie was real tiny and we got separated at Disneyland on a trip. Okay. She was fine. But Debbie and I, boy, we were frantic. We were frantic. And I get that feeling from Paul here. He gets to Troas and Titus is not there, and he's, what's the wording? His spirit was not at rest. Have you ever been up all night because you're worrying about something? So this was such a worry. Now let's keep in mind what Paul did here. This was such a worry that he left an open door of opportunity to preach. Sometimes we have to make that choice. Do we go care for a brother that we know might be having troubles, or are we going to go reach for the lost? And you have the opportunity to do both. Which do you choose? So Paul decided to continue from Troas because he's worried about Titus. And here, if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll see what also Titus was doing. So if you're still in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 8 and verse 6. Titus would have a lot of frequent flyer miles in today's world if this were going on. In chapter 8, the beginning of 2 Corinthians 8, he's talking about the generosity of the Macedonians in raising money for who? Who was Paul getting money raised for?
Needy
saints in Jerusalem. And so he talks about the beginning of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians about the generosity of the churches of Macedonia, as it mentions in verse 1, about the grace of God that was given to them among the churches of Macedonia, how they gave their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. It says they gave beyond their means. Begging, it says in verse 4, earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief. Right? Their attitude and everything. And this not as expected, they gave in the Lord first. So, verse 6, accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, he should complete among you this act of grace. So what was one of the things for, not only was delivering the letter to Corinth, but what was one of the things Paul had Timothy doing?
Collecting
the money for the saints, or going from congregation to city, getting them to prepare the gift. And so not only was he worried about Timothy's well-being, Timothy had an important, Titus had an important job of making sure this donation was available so that when Paul got ready to come back to Jerusalem, it's ready to go. So Paul's concern for Timothy is not just for Timothy, it's also for, Titus. I keep going to Timothy.
Well, an easy way to understand him being concerned over Titus is Titus is probably carrying a substantial amount of money and a lot of robbers in those days. And, you know, so understandably, when he didn't find Titus where he expected him, probably the worst came to mind. So
we're going to see, and in preparing this lesson in this way, I always thought, oh, Paul did all these journeys sort of by himself or maybe with one or two other people, but we're going to see, no, he actually had sort of a nice cadre of lieutenants, so to speak, that he was constantly sending off on different assignments. So after Troas, he leaves Troas because Titus is not there. It's likely he then stops in Philippi, who were supporters of Paul financially. uh, If we go to 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 9, we see chapter 11, verse 9, talking of the Corinthians, and he says, "And when I was with you, I was in need. I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained from." So he's saying those from Macedonia. A lot of times when they say it's from Macedonia, Paul's really meaning Philippi. And so what would the logical stop be? That he's coming here, who has supported him? Macedonians and the Philippians in general. And if we go to the book of Philippians, the letter to Philippians, chapter 4, towards the end of it, verse 14, it says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." So there in the 2 Corinthians 11 that we read about, where he talks to the Corinthians about the Macedonians supporting him, it was really the Philippians, because they were the only ones that did it. Of course, that's where, who was there? What woman was there, the first convert in Philippi? Lydia, the seller of purple. So she was a woman of means, so she was likely a big contributor towards that. So Paul's worried, he's not at rest, he leaves Troas. Where is he likely to go? I mean, by ship is to stop there at Philippi. It makes sense. He's going to stop at Philippi because what does he know he has at Philippi? He knows the church at Philippi will be a great comfort and support to him. They will take care of him. And keep in mind, so the phrase departed from Macedonia, all this is going on, and we can get the clues from the letters. That isn't mentioned in Acts. This is also possibly the location of Luke. Get my notes here. And so, because we're going to see some language change in Acts here, in Acts as we go. So, we went through before, what did Paul leave at the different cities, right? And it's what we're going to see later is possibly the location of Luke. Well, Luke was probably there at Philippi. But he gets to Philippi, and he still hasn't found Titus. In 2 Corinthians, again, we're back keeping there in the Corinthian letters, chapter 7. And verse 5, these letters in some ways are a little bit like Paul's Facebook. It's like, here I am, these things aren't, so-and-so is not here, and that's happening. So it says in verse 5, he talks with the Corinthians, "I'm acting with greater boldness towards you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. For even when we came into Macedonia and our bodies had no rest, but we are afflicted at every turn, fightings without and fear within." Again, coming into Macedonia, very likely Philippi, he still was what? Had no rest. And here it's talking about we. So he was there with someone, so that could have been Luke. Okay. And so we know that he gets to Philippi, no Titus. Okay. Your child's supposed to be home at 11 o'clock after going to a get-together with friends. They're not there. You call their phone, they don't answer. You call the friend's home's phone number. You call, no, they left. They're not there. Right? You start check. Paul's continuing to check, and he's getting worried. Not only that, as it mentions in 2 Corinthians here, there's fightings without. So there's pressures from probably the Jews and other people. There's lots of stuff going on here. And Paul is not at rest. But eventually, in Philippi, Titus eventually arrives, as we see in continuing in 2 Corinthians there. Verse 6, there are fightings without and fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing and your mourning, your zeal for me, so I rejoice still more. So it's hard to say exactly how long he was in Philippi here, but he went there and he stopped and he stayed, and probably because of his fears and knowing the support they were probably giving him, okay, I'm going to stay here for a while because I've got some support around me. Eventually, Titus arrives. It's not recorded, but how did Paul greet Titus? Where have you been? You made me worry so much. You moms know what I'm talking about. And so Titus arrives and eases Paul's mind. And so we've gotten Paul from Ephesus, as it says, he departed from Macedonia. He's in Macedonia. He's there. Finally at ease, Titus has arrived, brought him good news. Bruce? Oh. Brought him good news about who? The Corinthians. They've responded, right? That 1 Corinthians was, what was 1 Corinthian letter like? It was scathing, right? He just was smacking them up one side and down the other. And how did they receive the news? Because Titus comes to them with that letter. Do you think Titus was nervous? But how did the Corinthian brethren respond? Very well. In humbleness, repentance, sorrow. They still aren't perfect, as Paul writes this letter to the 2 Corinthians. But Titus comes back and tells them how well they heard the corrections, how well they responded. He probably also tells him about, well, Paul knows for himself what's happening in Philippi, but what's happening in Thessalonica and Berea and those places about the gathering of funds for the saints in Jerusalem. He brings to them the good news. And I can almost hear Paul do what? Okay. All is good. All is good. Well, we're still not done. So, and it's here that it's likely, here in Philippi, that it's likely he then writes 2 Corinthians. He gets the news from Titus. Good news, there's still some issues to deal with. Well, that's the second. Boy, I had some typos there. Those are supposed to be 2 Corinthians there. The twos are missing. I'm sure Roy would have told me later about all my typos. In chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, and with them we are sending, so he's going to be sending, he talks about in 2 Corinthians that he's sending Titus back to them. And it says in 22 and 23, and with them we are sending our brother, whom we often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. As for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. And so he's sending Titus. Does he send Titus alone? No, he sends Titus back with some other brothers. Unnamed, and it's likely he sends back, gets the news from Titus. Paul takes time to write the second letter to the Corinthians. Titus, get back on the plane. Send me out again. I don't know, have anyone been in sales where you had to, Marv, you have to fly all over the place sometimes for work. You ever go do one job, get back, and immediately they say, oh, you got to go out again. Right? What Paul's doing with Titus. I didn't look up that particular word. If I had my digital up, I could probably pull up the Greek on that. But for Paul to say someone's a partner, that almost implies a what?
Equal.
An equality. Right? Timothy was like a son to him, but Titus here is a partner. And we can see by what Paul's doing, does he have full confidence in Titus? Yes, and I didn't take time, we don't have time, we're not studying the book of Titus, but we could go there and see what Paul writes specifically to him when he's gone. But yeah, it is interesting. Here he's saying, in other words, Titus, he's like my right-hand man, right? He's right there with me, partner in the work, going with it. And so we still have Paul in Philippi. It says, then he came to Greece. Another whoosh, all of a sudden he's in Greece, where he spent 3 months. And just like when he said Macedonia, he meant Philippi. Guess what city he means when he says Greece? Corinth. He means Corinth. And it's likely Greece means Corinth. If you go to the end of 1 Corinthians of chapter 16 again in verse 5, it's the idea of, I will come to you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. What was he really meaning? We see he was really meaning the city of Philippi. So Paul oftentimes uses a region to describe a city. And really at this time, although Athens had all the temples and idols and learning, what was the center of Grecian commerce? Corinth. Corinth was the big city of Grecian commerce. That's where everything happened there. So again, he's still following his plan, as he wrote to the Corinthians in verse 8, at the end of 16, but I will stay in Ephesus till Pentecost for a wide doors opportunity, and then he's going to come to them. And it's while he's in Corinth that he writes the letter to the Romans. Romans 15:25, the end of the Roman letter. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. So where had he been going? He had sent Titus ahead. He had worked through Greece, come down to Corinth. And what's his goal now? He needs to what?
Take the
relief back to Jerusalem, which was what Romans 15:25 is saying. Rome, I want to come to you, but first I've got to take this aid back to Jerusalem. And when did he have all the aid and everything ready to go? When he was at Corinth. So he wrote the Roman letter, and in chapter 16, verse 1, it's sometimes thought, as it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need. So some scholars think that it is Phoebe who carries the Roman letter to Rome. Cenchrea over here, here's Corinth. Cenchrea was actually part of the port connection across the isthmus there in Greece. And that's where Phoebe was from. So obviously Phoebe's going to Rome, and may have been she had her own reasons, business, whatever it is, and Paul gives her the letter to take with her. Now, Paul, as we say in chapter, going finally back in Acts, the first six verses there, as Brian read for us, we see Paul had planned to head back to Jerusalem by what means? By sea. So he's sitting here, So he's sitting here in Corinth, planning to probably go down to Cenchrea, which he may be at this time when this is recorded, and he's planning to head back by sea. the fastest way, right, to get the aid back to Jerusalem. But what does it say? He's about to set sail for Syria, which means that northern part of the east end of the Mediterranean. When a plot became known that was made against him by the Jews. And so instead of going by sea, he's going, well, if I'm going to go that way, there's a plot, they're going to ambush me. Which is sort of interesting. Here's an ambush he avoids. What happens when he heads back towards Jerusalem and he gets closer? There's another ambush he knows of that he willingly walks right into. And so he's accompanied by those carrying aid for Jerusalem. And so the list that we read there, that Brian read for us, of these names were men who were appointed by the different congregations to accompany the aid back to Jerusalem. And so we have these men, Sopater from Berea. He's mentioned in other places we don't have the time to go into. Looking at these guys and sort of where they're found in Scripture is an interesting side study that I'd recommend. It's sort of interesting to see where many of these people are mentioned in other places. Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, which Aristarchus is a big worker for Paul. Gaius from Corinth, although it says he's born in Derbe, he was likely living in Corinth, so he was the Corinthian delegate to head back. Timothy was there, he was coming along. Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia, likely Ephesus. Again, there's that regional area, the major city Ephesus. Tychicus and Trophimus were likely from that area, bringing their gift. And so instead of heading back to, this is why we say Luke was in Philippi, he heads back by land, comes back to Philippi. And what does the language change? Notice from verse 5 to verse, he's talking about the writings go, Paul did this, Paul did that. In verse 5, these went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but then the language changes. So Paul picks Luke up, he comes back to Philippi, picks up Luke. The others had gone ahead to Troas, and then they start heading back, and we have the rest of Acts chapter 20, which we'll talk about next week, because I think I'm out of time. So, if it's Tuesday, it must be Troas.